do you guys think about trolls? I love them. Shout out to all the trolls. I got trolled yesterday, and I just like killing them with kindness, because then they're just like, like the troll today, he actually wrote me a message saying, I just did it because I get a lot of attention and follows when I troll on big accounts. Anyways, my next guest is a friend and a really selfless, interesting, cool cat. His name's King Boris. So, let's have fun.
So, I just want to say what's up to King Boris right now.
What's going on, everybody? Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, man. We've been trying to get this going. We've been trying to get you on my podcast for
a bit.
A minute.
Yeah, it's normally my fault. So,
no, man, it's all good. It doesn't matter. It's not about fault. So, you know, I think you mentioned this, and I think that it's such a good topic, giving for free, especially in, you know, social media and like having an agency or growing a business. And it's a common theme of mine lately. It's how I started my business. And I think we can never talk about this subject enough. So I think we should hit it off with that. And just, I want to see what you think and how you feel about giving for free.
Well, I guess I'll start off with saying is that's one way you and I came about, in a Instagram post, and what I offered your way. And to me, it was just something that, you know, I felt I should do. Something inside me said, you know what, I think this is something I can give away to this person, just because, you know, I like to give things to others, not for things in return, but just because it's my nature. You know, I've had a lot of people help me since I was little, so I just feel that it's right that I give that back. You know, they didn't expect anything from me, so the only way I could pay them back is to return a favor to others. And you know, open up opportunities for others and whatever I could do.
100%. Yeah, for me, you know, it's, I can kind of tell that it's something that's sort of been, just when I first met you, innate. Something that is, you've been giving for a long time. For me, I've had to reprogram my brain, and I've had to rewire things, because for so long it was never about giving. For me, it was always about taking mine. I need it. Whatever it took to get what I needed, I was willing to do. And so, right, when somebody has that ability naturally, I think I'm inspired by that, because that means it's deep in your core. And I think that's such a beautiful thing to have that be a part, you know, like I have my gifts or whatever. And that wasn't one of them. That's something that I had to really work at. And for you, you understand, you know how to connect with people, strangers, in a very natural way. And I think that's because you naturally are so giving. So, you know, I don't know, get into that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. See, I can say it started when I was young, when I was 8, going into 9 years old. I mean, it's pretty written in stone for me. The way me and my family moved from New York to New Jersey wasn't in good circumstances. So, you know, we lived in a very poor neighborhood, and we didn't have anything. And I remember people would give us stuff, clothes, furniture. For Christmas, there was a program that literally would, you make a list of Christmas presents that you want, and then that weekend, whenever Christmas was, you would get bussed out to, like, this one guy had this huge house, set it up all for us kids to, you know, eat and have desserts, and there was clowns, you know, all Christmas stuff for free, you know. And I always remembered that, like, I didn't even know who the guy was, years later, I even tried to find out who he was so I could just thank him. Like, dude, you know, that was big because he gave us all the presents we asked for. I remember I got a pair of LA Gears back in the 90s.
Damn.
With the flashlight, you know, in the back.
Yeah, like, I mean, those joints were, dude. I'm not trying to interrupt, but I just went from way back to the LA Gears with the lights.
I'll probably wear them now. I ain't gonna lie. I might go on eBay and look.
Yeah, they're probably like $8,000 on eBay.
Yeah. I remember pulling the lights out. Oh, those, and they're dope. But yeah, so, I mean, all these people, you know, one year for Christmas, these guys showed up to the house in a van and loaded up the living room with presents, right? Because I have a brother and a sister. My brother's older, my sister's younger. And I remember my mom crying because I knew she couldn't get us anything. But she was just so happy that, you know, we were being taken care of. And I always remembered that, like, they didn't have to do that, you know? So I had all these little things in my life where I've seen the repercussions of giving in a positive way. And I always said to myself, I'm always going to be like that because they did it to me. And it, you know, it helped. I mean, when you're 9, 10, 11 years old, you don't really understand everything as much as you, you know, think you would. And I mean, we were gifted with so much stuff. I don't know if I was lucky or not, but either way, it was a blessing, you know. So it's just in me to return that because I know that feeling, you know. So I love the ROI of giving, even if it's not to me. If you succeed and I see that, I'm like, boom, that's perfect.
That's a fucking, man. I mean, I just got so much from that, and it brought me back. Like that, lately I've been having people, you know, people in the out there that follow me, or audience, what do you want to call it? But I've had a lot of people talking about that, the shit that happens to us, or the things we do that kind of keeps us up at night. That's another theme. And that hit me when you said, you know, that your mom couldn't afford to get you the things you wanted. And you know, I struck, like, for me, it's still a hard thing because I deeply want to, like, I don't know. It gives, I feel a lot of sadness when I think about what I was like and how ungrateful I was, you know? And so for me now, like, I'm so deeply grateful for my parents. Like, I know that I for a long time, I didn't even understand them. And I went against them because for a lot of reasons, but none of them really valid. I mean, always we have a right to be angry, but you know, I went against them and I realize now that, like, the greatest gift you can give your parents is to just be happy and spend time with them.
Right. I agree.
That's just, yeah. It's a side topic, but it's something that I've been really, like, for me, that's a miracle. Like, I didn't have that feeling inside for up until very recently. And I think, you know, when we get older, we our perspective changes and we see things for what they are and not what, like, not the men thought they were.
I mean, sometimes you have to go through what you go through to see what you're supposed to see, you know? So sometimes you have to be an asshole to be the best person in the world. I mean, how else would you know? 100%. I mean, I'm sure there's ways, but either way, everybody has their road to walk down. And if you don't walk down that road, then, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to keep going. And sometimes that road sucks. But then you realize, man, this part of the road is great. And now you don't take it for granted because you know what shitty road is like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like driving through New Jersey. It's horrible.
Yeah. Like you live your, like, once, that's the thing. It's like lately also I've been saying, like, I love corny. You know, I said that the other night. Like, I love being mad corny. I love, like, being, like, fucking cheesy and, like, all, like, warm and shit because that's what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And how can we, I don't know. I think that it comes when it comes for everyone, but, like, the truth for me, like, why I push sort of kindness and giving selflessly so much is because the reward isn't instant, but internally it almost is, right? Meaning, like, the results for, like, your life changing drastically on a spirit on a, well, on a financial level, that may not happen quickly, although those actions do affect it. But mm-hmm. what it will affect, and it almost is instant, is the feeling that we get, the reward of being of service and helping people is like almost like instant fucking high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. Giving back and being of service to others is just, you know, it's sometimes a therapy, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel better. It's just the human nature to help each other. Yeah. You know, and when people don't, they don't. But, you know, we're spoiled as humans, you know, but we can still give. We can still take care of each other, you know, and there's many reasons why. Some people do it to just say that they do it, you yeah. know, to boast about it.
Yes.
That's not something I like. You know what I mean? If I were to do it on an open venue like that, it would have to be to show others that, look, this is how you should do it.
Yes, and here's the thing, guys, everyone out there listening, the effect of giving selflessly, the effect that I'm talking about, this like this high that I get, it doesn't come if I sit here and tell you about all the people I helped and what I did and the old lady I helped cross this, like, fuck that. It doesn't help that shit, okay? The only way to really feel what it's like to be of service is to give selflessly and not talk about it. Otherwise, you're just taking all this power and inertia that I talk about, and this like high that I get. It comes like it's a two-part deal, and if you're not selfless about it, you're gonna miss the results. You're missing the prize. You're missing the feeling. You're missing the high.
Yeah. Agreed. And, you know, I had a conversation today with someone. I talk to a lot of people almost daily due to Instagram, whether it's other businesses or influencers, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, I talked about how I give I give services away, right? So I'll help certain people out with their Instagram, their social media, which normally I would charge, you know, whatever the fee is. But I do it just to do it because, A, I know they don't have the money, and B, I know that they need that help to get wherever they're going. And I feel that I'm that link to the next step and whatever it is they want to do. And he was kind of shocked, like, why would you do that? Like, that's time, you know, time is valuable. I was like, it is, but it's not all about money, you know?
Right.
I use my time accordingly. To me, that's valuable to give back. So I'll help people. Sometimes, you know, I go out of my way to do it, and people just, you know, he didn't understand that, like, that's weird, like, you know, I need to get paid. And I'm like, well, that's why when I talk to certain people is because of that rapport that I have. I'm not greedy, I'm not money hungry. And you know what, sometimes you might help the right person, not that you, I expect things in return, but that's just some of the repercussions of being so giving is it yeah. comes back to you.
You know what else, though, that's interesting about that is some, like, the guy you're talking about, you might have actually, see, by you doing it, and you said it, you planted the seed, and now he watches you. Essentially, not only are you helping the people you're giving to, but you might have helped that guy. And, like, that's why I'm all about sharing my experience and like people learning from me by my actions, not by what I say.
Right. You got to lead with what you do, not what you say.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and with what, like, putting that shit out in the world and, like, on social media, and, you know, I take that shit so seriously, because all the shit that I say and put out there, like, you better be damn fucking right that I will, like, I have to live it in my life, right? Because I'm putting it out there, and a lot of times it's good because it's good, but it challenges me because I can't digress, because you know, I'm setting myself up to be accountable for by sharing the stuff that I share.
Right. Once you put it out there, you can't take it back.
No, and
you better do it.
No, and I can and I have to live it. And I'm sure you know that, you know, oh, it's yeah. like, you can share all this shit like a lot of people do, but, like, if you're not living it in your life, everyone. I mean, you can't play people the way you think you're playing them. Like, that's the truth. You're gonna just get eventually. And so, like, if you're on this whole positive, like, rah rah thing, but you're not living that life and you're not practicing those principles, like, you're setting yourself up to bury yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah, facts. I totally agree. Because one day you're going to slip. Yep. You're going to forget. And then all of a sudden, oh, damn, what happened? And that's it.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, that's why I keep it the way I keep it. And I speak the way I speak because I'm pretty consistent. I'm 38. So I've realized that I do have a level of consistency that things that I've said 10 years ago, I've repeated. And I'm like, holy crap, I watch a video or something. I'm like, I still think that way. I still say those things. You know, so I know that I have a core belief in certain things and like giving and charity or whatever you want to call it. And that's, I still do it and I'll always do it. You know, like one day I know I'll have that 6, 7, 8 figures in the bank, but I'm going to give a lot of that stuff away. Not because I want to boast, but because somebody did it for me when I was young. And I would love to see children's faces knowing that there's still good people out there to help them when they need it. And that teaches them to help, you know. So that example is one way to carry that on from generation to generation.
For sure, man. And I think what's so cool is, like, you know, back when you first when you had those experiences when you were a kid and you were, someone was giving you, like, you, that was very beta. It, meaning, like, you didn't have the tech that we have or, like, the reach, right? So now,
right,
think about the opportunity that you have to give and the reach you have and the lives you have to connect with. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not, I hope you get it. Like, I'm not saying the act that happened was beta by any means. I'm saying the the connection, like, the reach that the person had to help,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Right. Well, it's just important, you know, and I know that it also builds relationships in the sense that, you know, I know when people talk about me, they're not going to say, or they shouldn't be saying anything negative. You know, I've been doing this for years, brother. When I tell you years, I've given so much stuff away, not even my own stuff. Like, you know, I work in the automotive world and there's a lot of times that I've done things for free.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Don't worry about the cost. And they look at me, what do you mean? I'm like, don't worry about it. I got this. It's good. And, you know, the look on their face is like, I don't understand. Like, why would you do that? I was like, well, why wouldn't you? Wouldn't you feel good if somebody gave you something when you needed it? And they go, well, yeah. I'm like, well, there it is. You got it. And they, you know, just blows their mind. And that's what I like. Because, you know, I'm not doing it for anything else. Then, so I'm trying to help you, dude. Or ma'am.
I know. It's take funny, the right? Help. And, like, they, and people, and I do this, too. It's funny because I've had a lot of people help me in my life, but for the more that I give, the harder it is for me to receive now. Before, it was really easy for me to, like, say, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, you're going to hook me. Oh, shit. Like, you're going to help me out? Like, fuck yeah. You know, like, and now it's like, I because I'm practicing such different behavior, it's so hard for me. Because, like, the balance of receiving as well and allowing myself to receive.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. And there's a lot of different things that I take out of life. And I would say early 2000, you know, 2005, 2000, or mid-2000, whatever. And I'm good friends with this guy still to this day. He's like a brother now. But he always told me one thing. He said, sometimes you ask for a blessing. Right. And when you receive that blessing, you push it away because your ego tells you that, oh, well, I'm too much of a man to accept the gift. Right. But it goes two ways. Number one, you ask for it, so receive it. But number two, the person who's giving you that gift or that blessing, it's a blessing to them to even be able to do that. So just like for me, it's a, you know, I'm happy and I'm blessed to be able to give, let's say, somebody $100, like, yo, here's $100, take it, you know. It goes the other way. I feel pleasure for that, and I can do that. When you're telling people no, sometimes you're taking their blessings away, because that's what they want to do, and they want to help. And then you're like, no, I don't want your help. And, you know, it's not that it hurts. It's just upsetting. Like, you know, that's my intention is just to help. So I stopped saying no as much as I used to, and things changed for me. You know, it's like the blessings came a lot easier. I needed something and it would just show up, and I'd say, you know what, I'll take it because I asked for it. I mean, why not? It's being delivered, so why push away what you asked for? So it's a weird formula, but you know, in my head it works.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I do get it. I think for me, it's because I could definitely use that and take from that. I also think because I took so much, it's like almost like I have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like karma.
Yeah.
I did a lot of bad stuff when I was younger, you know, and I tell people I made up my karma already because I've done so much good in my eyes that I think that I've balanced it out. Based on what's coming back at me from, you know, in life, I have all these positive things going on for so long that I'm like, all right, that's the good karma coming back from what I did, you know. But everybody's circumstances are different. So I understand when you say you've taken so much that you just, you know, your soul tells you, well, you've taken enough. Don't take anymore. So yeah. I get that.
Yeah. I'm in that sort of mental mindset. Also, you know, I also, when I give, I see this as, I see a lot of people who give, and maybe they give and they don't even talk about it, right? They're selfish, mm-hmm. but they pick and choose. Now, for me, if I'm, let's say I walk into a gas station and there's a guy outside who's homeless and asks me for money and I have cash, I give it to him. While I'll have a friend of mine, whoever it may be, who may be selfless, who after says, why are you doing that? They're just going to go buy liquor. And I always respond by saying, it's not my business what they do with it. My job is to serve, right? And so if they ask for my help, maybe that, you know, that's what they needed. What they do with it doesn't, that's not my business.
Right.
And that, I think that's important to understand.
I mean, who are we to judge what another person does? You know what I mean? If you want to go drink, I mean, he's homeless. I mean, what is he going to do? Take $20 and buy a house? I mean,
exactly. Yo, if it makes you happy and that's what you need, and he had the humility to ask for it, that's fine by me.
And you know, people don't do things in life so they for negative results. Everybody does things to feel better, to be better. Even though drinking's no good for some people, they do it because it makes them feel better.
But he doesn't. But the guy or the woman or whoever, they may not know that any other way. They may only know, right. Maybe they were raised that way. Maybe it was something that happened as a child. Like what they may, you know is that. And so also me being sober, it's like it gives an opportunity because that may open a conversation. It actually has where, you know, they start talking to me because they're shocked that I gave them whatever I gave them, and I say, you know, and I'll say, like, get whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. And it opens a conversation, which then can actually, by doing that, it opens them up to maybe being vulnerable and learning and having a conversation about why alcohol affects them differently than others.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. Just because I think of things a certain way or I know certain things doesn't mean somebody else does. I had a friend that went to elementary school with, and I'm from Elizabeth, New Jersey. So, you know, it's a small town. And I always remembered his name. You know, we've seen each other from time to time. And, you know, 20 years later, he's the cart guy at the supermarket. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I mean, you could do better than this. I mean, you're an adult. You should have a career. You know, I'm no one to judge, but I mean, this is, you know, and he, what his response was, well, I can't get another job. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, my mom always told me if I can't get a high school diploma, then I'm screwed. This is the only kind of job I have.
Wow.
And that's why he was in that position, not because of anything else. So, you know, I had a deep conversation with him and I'm like, you really believe that? He said, well, why would my mom lie to me? And, you know, 20 years later, he's pushing carts, you know, when he could be doing, you know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's not handicapped. He's strong. He's a man. He can go work anywhere. But that's where he chose because of what he was taught. And I was like, man, that's crazy. I mean, he wasn't complaining, but at the same time, he could have been doing a lot better.
Imagine if his mother told him no matter what he did in school, he could still do whatever he wanted.
I mean, it's that simple. That's why I'm very cautious about what I tell my kids. You know, I know that there's things that they'll always remember, just like me. I always remember certain things certain people told me, and they've guided me through life. So I consciously try to plant seeds in their brains. So when they're older, I hope and pray that they remember the things that I like. For example, everybody says something's hard, and I'm like, it's not hard. If I hit you with this table, it hurts because it's hard. It's difficult until you figure it out. Once you know how to do it, it's easy. Everything's easy. You just don't know how to do it yet. So I don't want to hear that language from you that it's hard, because that right there is the incorrect verbiage, period.
Yeah.
Of any situation. You know, and it sounds corny, but at the same time.
No, man. That'll go kid's whole life.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, like, I'm conscious of that. And I realize that. And I'm like, you know what? I have, right now, I can teach them to at least, you know, think positive and look at things in a positive way. So no matter what, if it's in their brain, you know, you never know where it may take them, versus just blindingly raising them and just feeding them. And that's it. My job is to keep you alive. You know, it's more than that. So it's deep, man. It's a lot of stuff to take in, you know?
So. Yeah, it's, you know, when everything's said and done, and we're, you know, even when things are good or whatever, it's like, life is going to happen always. And
yeah,
it's going to happen on life's terms. And there's other, you know, it's also like, you go, when people start judging, it's like, you don't know what the fuck is going on at home. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if, like,
right,
for some, like maybe you're not available. Like, you don't know if he's at home with his kids trying to teach them something. Like, people, it could be in any sort of situation. And I think if we practice relating more and actually stopping and saying, yo, this motherfucker probably has some shit going on, rather than like, fuck this dude, he's,
yeah,
like, you know, and I don't know, that's something that's been on my mind a lot lately.
Well, I've in the field that I've worked in sales for so many years, and not car sales, but in service. I've been in the service department. I've been a mechanic, you know, for many years. I've done a lot of that stuff. And one of the things that they teach you in some of these, they send you to like training to how how to sell and things of that nature, is that people have baggage, you know, and that baggage is not your baggage, but it's going to land on you sometimes. Not to take it personal, because it's not you per se. It's whatever that's going on in that person's life. So sometimes you're just there in their way, you know, there's going to be resistance. But so I don't take so many things personal anymore, because people yell at me and scream at me, and I just look at them like, okay, are you good? And they kind of look at me like, well, aren't you mad that I yelled at you? I'm like, no, it's not personal. Do you hate me? Well, no. So I'm like, okay. And it totally changes the whole mood and conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just taking that approach.
But that's such a good point, because that's such a good, realistic, relatable, tangible thing that I think people here, even listening, could really get value out of, which is like, how...
Uh-oh, did we lose you, Noah?
Can you hear me?
And you're back.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The amount of customers that you've probably earned, or relationships, by instilling those principles in your life that you would almost never, without any experience, would never expect to work the way that they do, is so valuable for anyone listening.
Oh, yeah. I've been told, and I'll I now accept it, that I have a gift when it comes to communicating with people. No matter where I'm at, I can communicate with people one way or another. And I recently had like a meeting. You know, I met with this dude that he runs at one of the biggest podcasts that there is in, you know, podcast world. And you know, he's like at over 250 million downloads. You know, he's a big wig. So I finally. He came to Houston. I finally sat down with him and talked to him. you know, we're in this very high class bar where I'm like, I totally was not ready for this place because I went there with a t-shirt and jeans and shorts. So I just pulled, you know, there's Lamborghinis and Ferraris everywhere. So I pulled up to the valet. I was like, here, park my shit. And I went inside like I owned the place. So I'm sitting with him and he goes, you know, people like you dressed like that normally get kicked out of places like this. And I'm like, well, either that or I'm the richest place person in this room. Yeah. I was like, you can't judge anyone just because I walk in like this don't mean that I don't have more than everyone here. You know, by the end of the night, his face has fallen off because I blew his mind with the stuff that I know, what I do. You know, I had conversations with people at the bar, relatable conversations. I'm like, what's up, man? I know that shirt. It's Cause. He's like, holy shit. And this guy's like, how do you do that? I'm like, is it just me? I just, you know, I can just talk to people because there's nothing to be scared of. Just open up and, you know, people like a friendly face.
That's why I always tell people to go out and live and experience and fuck up and meet people. And because then when you're in your 30s, you have so much experience that like you could point out that that was Cause or because right. Like, you know, you've lived so many, you know, like you've tasted so much. That's why like people are like, I'm not inspired to, I want to help people, but I don't know how. I'm like, cause you have no fucking experience. You haven't right. lived your life and done shit and made mistakes yet. Go fuck up and learn from it a couple hundred times.
Exactly. And imagine 30 years from now where using that mindset will be, you know what I mean? Yeah. So instead of looking at the past mm-hmm. and dwelling on that, think about the future. Like if we knew now what we knew then, obviously things would be different. So imagine what we're going to be saying 30 years from now about today.
Yeah, there's a clarity that comes with experience and time on this planet for sure.
Right, right. So like they always say, if you're not fucking up, you're not trying hard enough.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. And if you're fucking up, then it means that you're doing something right because it means that you're trying. And when you're trying, right. that's when you can, that's like, you know, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine last night and he's telling me that he's going to meet up with, he's got the biggest meeting of his life. He's going to Miami and he's surrounding himself around the biggest like CEO types and that's what he needs. And I said, I was like, you know, I was taking it in. I was like, bro, you don't need that. You are that. You don't need right. any of that shit. Like you're fucking good. And you know, and he was all excited about it. And then I wasn't trying to bring him down. I was just like, you don't need that. Like you've made enough mistakes and learned from them that your experience is more valuable than most of those guys.
You might be able to teach them a thing.
Exactly. And I really was trying to get him to understand that because I think we our intuition and our gut when we're in touch is like is fucking that's a billion-dollar business sitting inside us.
Oh yeah, that's yeah for a fact. I mean, I listen to my intuition. I've tuned in on it, and I can finally say that I know how to listen to my intuition and go with it. And it's, you know, it's done good by me. And, what was I going to add here? Oh, that, like your friend, same thing. I had a conversation again with someone and, you know, they're like, dude, you know what you're doing. You're good. You should go to New York, you know, cause I was invited to go to Gary V studios and look at all his, you know, what he does. And like, you never know, man, he could have hired you and you could have been working for him. And I'm like, you know what? That sounds cool. And it would have probably been dope, but at the same time, I know that I could do that on my own, you know? So working there now may inhibit what I'm going to do later.
Yep.
Because my gut tells me, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it on my terms, not, you know, I know I'm going to share that stage, but not because I'm going to go see him, let's say. It's because I'm on that same platform, or I will be,
yep.
you know? So I'll be a player. So when I get there, then they'll be like, oh shit, Boris is here, but he's, you know, one of them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's crazy, man. It's just, that's what I mean. I go with my intuition. Like all this social media shit just happened by mistake. And I saw something and I started, it's like, you know what? I like this. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go that way. And before you know it, you know, it turned into something big. And even if I didn't make $1 million yet, I've definitely talked to a lot of people and had some amazing conversations and built, you know, my network is so much bigger now than I could ever have dreamed of. Literally, like, that alone is amazing to me, to know the people that I know, the people that I can call on my phone now, like, hey, check this out. They're like, how do you know that person? It's just me. I mean, I just rub people the right way, I guess. People talk good about me and I know what I'm doing, and you know, it all shows in who I know and what my work looks like. You know what I mean?
And that shit goes a long way, man. I'm up with it, like a marketing, I guess I'm essentially up to be what he said he wants is, the vice president of all online for this company. And I don't want a position that takes me away from my business. So I'll work something out, but in a different sort of approach. But what was interesting was he had hit me up on LinkedIn, and I asked him how he found me when he first wrote. He goes, actually, we've met, but I heard this girl, Joanna, that we both know. He said, I heard this girl, Joanna, at a party saying like the most insane, amazing things about you. And I wasn't even in the conversation. I overheard it. And the next day I was like, that's the guy I need. And that's when I wrote you on LinkedIn. And that's why it goes such a long way, man.
Right. Right. And that's what I was explaining to this other guy. It's not always about the money. I can sit there, take all your money, do what I gotta do, keep it moving. And that'll be a solid relationship that's business. But when you do something different, like, you know, I'm gonna do it for less, do it for free, whatever the case may be, that changes the whole relationship. So when he or she crosses paths with someone else, whose name's gonna come up?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're going to talk about you and say, yo, this guy, Noah, he's amazing. This and that, you know, not just because you do good work, because of the way you handled it and the way you gave it. You know what I mean?
And look at that. Like, he wasn't even, to this day, I don't even think she knows. I have to actually thank her, but like, he overheard this. That's crazy. Like, if you can impact people that like, they're always saying good things about you, and that someone can overhear that, and I end up like, I mean, the job could make me literally a fortune. I just don't think I'll end up taking it, but like, look at what could have happened. That's just based on like, on giving, really. That's what it
could right.
be for me.
Right. It's, you know, it's coming your way, and you don't have to go crazy trying to obtain it this second, because it might ruin what's supposed to happen.
Exactly.
And that's how I feel. That's how I look at it. You know, so far it's proved right for me, because, you know, I've done things and been in certain situations that if I didn't give it away for free, or I didn't do it the way I did, then the outcome would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't have caught the attention of this person or that person. And, you know, and I have a thing, and I've talked about it on my Instagram, about conversations, because you know, life to me is like a puzzle, and everybody has a piece. There's always pieces everywhere to, you know, just add to your puzzle of life. And sometimes you'll talk to somebody randomly or whatever the case may be, and they might say something that you're like, holy shit, I did not know that. And that's one of your puzzles, you know what I mean? And that's, I think that's important.
100%, man, absolutely.
I did a thing back when I was on the East Coast with Jay-Z. Pulled out his book, Decoded, and he had a scavenger hunt for his stuff. So I ended up in the Brooklyn Museum one day when he was doing an interview with Charlie Rose. And at the end of the segment, he started asking questions, he let people ask him questions. So I jumped in line, and I put this clip on YouTube, and I asked Jay, like, who have you come across that you wouldn't have if you would have stayed as a drug dealer? And, you know, but you're Jay-Z now, so obviously you have access to people that I would never have access to. And, you know, like, what have you learned from them? And he was like, it doesn't matter who you know or how big they are. because everybody has something for you. So, and he told a story where he was at a radio station just walking through the lobby, and the janitor saw him. He's like, "Yo, Jay-Z, what's up, man?" He's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Yo, they're having a board meeting in there right now about the music they're going to play." And Jay-Z walked in there and got his music on the radio. And he said, right then and there, that janitor was the most important person in my life at that moment. And he's a janitor. So it doesn't matter who he is or isn't, but wow, he helped me. And that, to me, I was like, damn, bro, that was powerful. Because I'm over here thinking he's going to be like, yeah, I talked to Bill Gates and he told me this. Nope. He said the janitor helped me out. And that put him ahead of the game.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that and that was deep. And then I'm here, King Boris talking to Jay-Z on TV while he tells me that. It was mind-blowing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Even Beyonce turned around, looked at me like, wow, who's this guy? That was a good question. That was funny. But it was wild, man. And I took that and I said, you know what? I'm going to go with that because, you know, you never know who's going to be who, what, when, where, why. So I treat everybody with respect, because that guy that I treat with respect might be my boss one day. He might be my partner. He might be the guy that has the decision to save my life. You don't know?
100. You know? Yep.
Then he's going to remember, oh, I remember that guy stole my hot dog. Fuck him. You know, it's not going to be me. So you never know. That's why I don't even curse at people when they cut me off, because then we pull up at the same place. I'm like, whew, I would have to fight that guy.
You're better off than me, bro. My road rage is outrageous.
Well, I tell you, I blame that on the South, because when I came to Houston, I was an angry Yankee, and now I'm a soft Southerner. Because I tell you, New York City and that whole area is rough, man. We are angry. In the first 6 months, man, I almost ate people's faces off. And then I realized one day, I was like, wait a minute, am I being too aggressive? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, okay. So moving out here has helped me tone down that aggression a lot, you know. So I think that's another thing that helped me evolve with, you know, everything that I'm doing now, is releasing that unnecessary tension that is created by living on the East Coast, primarily in New York and New Jersey area. Because I lived right in the shithole of all of it.
Someone once said to me, do you want a meter to understand how spiritual you are at any given moment? Well, what's your road rage like?
Mine?
No, I'm saying in general. Someone said to me, you want a gauge, you're on track, like if you're a spiritual person, how do you act when you're in the car?
Right, I get it. You know? Now, I'm like, fuck it, bro. You can go.
Because that's patience. That's patience, tolerance. I mean, so many things.
Yes. Yes. And, yeah, that's important, man. I've practiced patience. And, I mean, I learned a lot from people. And one of my old bosses, he had 5 kids, right? And he had the patience of a saint. You could not get him to go crazy ever. So when somebody would make him blow his lid, I'm like, damn, wow. You know, and I was learning. I'm like, man, how do you have so much patience? He's like, I got 5 kids, bro. I got no choice. So, you know, I started practicing patience. And I'm like, you know what? I got plenty of time. I got another 60 years to go. I'm not going to go crazy. Certain things will happen when they happen. So I'm going to focus on this until it's time to focus on something else. You know, like some people go crazy trying to do a million things and get nothing done. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to focus on one thing and get that done and then move on to the next.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's it. Like, there's a video on YouTube that's gone around all over the place. And my son's 12 now. I showed it to him. And it was a Navy guy, maybe, talking about making his bed. Have you seen that one?
No, but I tell people every day, the first thing to ever to get you in line with practicing different principles and changing your whole life is make your bed every day. I've been doing it for years.
And that's what he talked about, you know, like I showed my son like 2 or 3 times, and he's like, all right, you know, he rolls his eyes. I'm like, listen to this, bro. I'm telling you, it's gonna change your life. So every time he does that, and I'm like, bro, make your bed. And he looks at me like, dude, again, you're gonna keep saying that? I'm like, I'm gonna say it forever until you go thank you.
It's dude, it's so fucking deeply powerful to do that on the daily. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. So it
throws me off when I don't now.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit, and I do things the exact same way all the time, especially when it works. So when I put my keys in the wrong spot, it throws my whole day off.
Yep.
Always, because I'm like, yo, this I got a routine. It works.
Yep.
That's why when I start doing something and I get into the routine of it, I do it well because, you know, this is it. I can see the matrix. That's what I always say. I can read the matrix. When I can read the matrix, I can do things that other people are like, man, how do you do that? I'm like, I just do it because, you know, it's patterns and repetition.
Yep.
So I just embedded in my, you know, way of being. So little things like that, making your bed, putting the keys in the same spot, that shit matters. Because not that if you don't do it, you're a bad person, but
no,
for me, it gives me structure and I need that structure. When I don't have structure, I'm, you know, I don't understand how people that don't have structure live the way they do because this shit drives me crazy. I can't sustain it. I need to hang my jacket up in the same spot, then I'm good.
Yeah, making your bed every day is like showing up early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all very intertwined.
And it's practice. I mean, what is it? After 2 weeks, you get used to it. And after a few months, it's a habit.
90 days, it's a habit.
Yeah. So, you know, I try to practice that with certain things. But I don't always succeed, especially working out. I wish I was consistent. Eating healthy, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Eating pizza is healthy mentally because I'm so happy when I eat pizza. it makes me smile, and being happy is good.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, don't eat that cheeseburger. It's bad for you. I was like, yeah, but it makes me feel so good.
Yeah, exactly.
I get the best sleep at night, and sleep is important, so don't ruin my sleep. Yeah. Oh, man. But hey, that's me.
So I'm going to do this thing that I do when I end it on the show.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
I wasn't ready. I forgot.
Yep. Well, that's the whole point. So it's called Ready, Set, Go. And this is all about no front. So when I say ready, set, go, you just talk and let it out. And you don't think. The second you overthink is when we stop.
Who's going first?
You are.
All right.
Ready, set, go.
So my name is King Boris, and I deal with a lot of things internally and in my head with anxiety, and you know, it's hard for me to sometimes think and focus on things, and you know, a lot of people are scared to talk about it, but I don't care anymore. I'm just going to speak about the things that I feel, and I've gotten to a point where I, you know, now take medicine for my anxiety, and as I talk about it with others, they start coming out and telling me, hey, I feel the same way. Thanks for talking about it. So, you know, I'm no longer scared to talk about how I feel and how I've felt for so many years because it's like a crutch that I just took off and just laid it out there. Now, part of my mission is to let people know that you're not alone when it comes to certain feelings inside of you that you think you're alone. You're not, because most of us are going through the same shit. So just let it out and you'll feel better.
Yes, that was the fucking shit.
I've never said that like that, especially on an open forum.
That's why it's just, that's why no fronts. I'm going to go. You're going to tell me ready, set, go. But before I do, I just want to say thank you.
Oh, no doubt, brother. I appreciate you.
I'm really, really grateful that you were on. And also, I want to say to everyone out there that if you want to get in touch with King Boris, his Instagram is King_Boris. 2 R's, B-O-R-R-I-S.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to put out there and let me connect with you?
Hey, if you need any help, holler at me. Hit the DM because I'm here. As soon as I get time, I have no problems helping people out with whatever you need.
That's real, guys. He's one of the real ones. So,
Baxed.
Definitely do that and hit me with the ready, set, go, and we'll end it.
Ready, set, go.
I'm fucking exhausted, burnt out, beyond belief, to the point where I feel like my body is really trying to rest. It needs a break, and I can't stop. I'm addicted to what I do. I'm addicted to helping. I'm addicted to connecting. I'm addicted to this whole fucking thing that I've started. And sometimes I think I need more of a break. You don't feel a part of it. If you don't feel it, it's because you're not. And if you want to feel a part of something, you got to be a part of it. You got to connect and put yourself out there. Being a man, a warrior, is about being raw and real. Everything else is just phony and fake. I'm all about being authentic. That's why I started Social Authentic Media. This is my show, No Fuss, and we're out.
Peace.